please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 745. I am your host, Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
I know your time is money and gold.
It is Wednesday, October 20th. Oh, no, it's not. It's November 8th, 2023. On the show today, we have Early Era Collective in their show of The I Sing. And later on, we'll be talking to the folks at St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater and their production of The Wolves. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Texas, New York, New York, Paris, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, and Points West. Don't go away.
Till I come digging for you, so little potato, stay right.
And we are back. That show is called Plant You Now, Dig You Later.
That's kind of a great title.
Plant You Now, Dig You Later. Can't get that.
That's a great title.
Nicole Shiro, you flew solo. Well, you didn't. You kind of flew solo last week.
I did. I didn't have you.
You didn't have me, but you had Tracy.
But I had Tracy Schultz and Bob Tolaro.
And Bob Tolaro. Oh, that's right. He was your co-host. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, so I had a guest engineer and a guest co-host.
We love Bob Tolaro.
I know.
Well, good. Well, you did a great job. I listened to every word of it.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. but I will. I do plan to. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we, in the studio audience.
Yes, we've got some people.
We do. We have Lauren Parafadri.
Hey, hey.
How'd I do?
You did excellent.
Excellent. I was so worried. Stephanie Patrick. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome back.
Hello, hello. Thanks. Good to be back.
And Jack Dunlap.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Not too shabby. Anyway, that song that we played was from a pal, Joey, which played at the City Center in New York. And if you didn't see it, you missed it because it's closed already.
With one Leslie Odom Jr.
Was and Pal Joey? No.
No, no, no.
Oh, you're
oh,
thinking
no,
of...
No, no. Sorry, Pal Joey's the one that was redone with Savion Glaver and Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
And, yeah, yeah. They're the ones that redid this, and they changed it all. And they changed... Yes, because we talked about this last week. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
You already talked about... Had
we
it already opened?
No,
should
it hadn't opened.
Should we not talk about it?
No, no. We just talked about Tony Goldwyn and Savion Glaver getting together and redoing Pal Joey, which is genius.
Anyway, so Pal Joey did not do quite well when it first opened back in 1940. So it is a, I was about to say Candor Neb, but it was...
Oh, no, it's not Candor
no,
Neb.
No, I know it's not.
Rogers and Hart, right?
It's Rogers and Hart, if you would let me finish. Oh, my gosh. It's a difficult room today. Anyway, so...
I did that without notes.
Yeah, I know. You can't. I have to do it with notes. Back in the day when it opened, the New York Times critic Brooks Atkinson, of which there is a theater named after him.
I was like, a theater
now,
is named after the man now.
Said the show was considered distasteful because you couldn't draw sweet water from a foul well.
Oh God, that's a little brutal.
Yeah. So it. It is, again, a Rogers and Hart, and Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered came out of it, and another standard. I forgot which one it was.
I was about to say, there's a few. The music in it is pretty...
Two standards, awesome. Two songs that came out as a standard. But anyway, the review by our good friend Jesse Green of the New York Times starts out this way. It's not often that the standout star of a show is its music supervisor, arranger, or orchestrator, but in the gala presentation of Pal Joey at New York City Center, through Sunday, all three are one man, Daryl Walters. More than the authors of the ambitious, bewildering Revival's new book, Waters, who has served similar roles on musicals as varied as Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk, After Midnight, The Cher Show in New York, New York, makes a clear case in The Beautiful Sound for his investigation into a melting pot of American music. So the show, the Pal Joey, the plot is about a guy trying to sort of take advantage of two different women, mm-hmm. and he's kind of a hodgepodge, a flim flam man. This time they have made Change. That character. The character is black, and then one of the other women is also a black woman. But the one that he's, that I think is the owner of the thing, I don't know exactly. I'm dealing a little bit. She's white. So it adds this whole racial tenor to it, which is. Very different than what it's been in the past.
Which was their whole intent when Tony and Savion got together and decided, like, hey.
Well,
don't you love that
Savion Glover's name in this anyway?
Aren't you loving that President Grant got together with Savion Glover? Because that just makes me happy.
I don't know anything about that.
Tony Goldwyn's President Grant from Scandal.
Okay.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay.
He's also the mean man that killed Patrick Swayze in Ghost.
Okay, we're going to continue talking about this. Anyway, Pal Joey opened in Broadway in 1952. It had revivals in 63, 76, and 2008. What it says about it, in choosing to alter the racial frame of the story, the curtain version's adapters, Richard LeGravenez and Daniel Coa Beatty, have made a powerful, promising intervention. Joey's played by Ephraim Sykes. He is black with the tortured soul of a true artist. The Chicago club in which he sings is now a black establishment run by Lucille Wallace, played by Loretta Devine, and a former star of Harlem Night Spots. Linda, a Shea Jackson, is a black singer too, but one who prefers radio to live performances so as not to be, quote, judged by what people hear, not by what they see.
I love Loretta Devine.
Okay, good. One of the things that it says is what really never worked with the show, as always, and still does not, is the way the songs hang with a story. Innovators though they were, Rodgers and Hart had only begun to explore how to make song an expression of narrative itself, not just a character sketch or an applique or decoration. It had 21 songs in it.
That's a lot.
In this version, only 7 were from the original Pal Joey. Mm-hmm. 8 of the songs were cut, and then other ones come from other things.
Yeah, they messed around with it a lot.
They did.
I like it. I like that they came
out. Some of the ones they added were Where, When, My Funny Valentine, and Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. Those are all great standards.
Yeah. And that's it. Some of the other... by the way, do I have this? There's a lovely... here's some of the notable people that have played Joey Evans, including the movie. So Gene Kelly originated the role. Frank Sinatra, Harold Lang, Bob Fosse, Joel Grey, some people that have played Vera, Rita Hayworth, Joan Copeland, Lena Horne, Donna Murphy, Patti LuPone, Stockard Channing.
Ooh, I'd love me some Stockard
Channing. It's got a lot of... people here.
I knew Fosse and I knew Gray, but I didn't realize the whole
Melba bunch. Was played by Elaine Stritch, B.B. Newworth, Anne Reinking, Dixie Carter. I mean, lots of really
Well, that's another people. Like wild and crazy group of fantastic people.
I know. And so I think that's it for Pal Joey. Anybody ever see the show?
Mm-mm. Never. I've seen the movie.
Negative.
Yeah. I haven't. I'm a big Joel Grey fan though.
Who doesn't like Joel Grey? I saw him in the original Wicked.
Yeah. Oh, so did I.
Yeah. Joey.
He and I, when I met him, he got very excited because we're both short people. He's like, you're my height. I'm like, I am and you're mine. It was like, I don't know. Short people thing is very exciting.
We also had an opening on Broadway.
Another opening.
Another opening on Broadway. Another very busy. This is that Danny DeVito thing with his daughter. And it's a Teresa Rebeck show called I Need That.
That's a Jersey man, you know.
Okay.
DeVito's a Jersey guy.
Okay. It opened on November 2nd at the American Airlines Theater. The little blurb says, Sam doesn't get out much. Actually, he doesn't get out at all, opting instead for the safety of his house in the company of his things, his many, many, many things. He's a hoarder. But when a notice from the government arrives alerting Sam that he must clean up his property or face eviction, he's forced to reckon with what's trash, what's treasure, and whether we can even know the difference between the two. The Did He Like That aggregator had 12 reviews. Two were positive, one was negative, and the rest were
in the middle
of the road.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wanted to say anything mean to Danny.
No, well, but he got, he was pretty well liked across the board, but the show is eh.
Well, it's another episode of Hoarders. I mean,
yep. But what the find interesting, he says, before the curtain even rises, we get an idea because all the trash from the set behind the curtain spills out in front of the curtain. So I thought that was kind of
clever. Yeah, no, the set and stuff sound cool.
Yeah, and the set was by Alexander Dodge.
That has to be daunting to design something where the stage is a hoarder, but yeah. You have to safely be able to move around as an actor in safety and space. That's got to be a challenging design.
He kind of called it a sitcom. The director is Moritz von Stupenagel. And this was for the Roundabout Theater Company. Teresa Rebeck has done 21 major New York productions.
Yeah, she's on. She might go somewhere.
She might go somewhere. She's had 5 on Broadway.
Hmm.
She also did Smash, as we've talked about here.
She might go somewhere.
She might. She just needs to keep working. But he says, the play overall, within its neat architecture, feels cluttered and obvious. Amelia, played by Danny DeVito's daughter, Lucy, arrives in a flurry to tell her father that town authorities will come and condemn and evict him. I've heard the two of them on several podcasts talking.
Danny and the daughter?
That's the end of the story. Because I didn't find anything terribly interesting about that.
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy. He does a lot of things for Jersey.
Not really liked all that much. So I'm not going to say a lot more, but I will go with the other critics. Brittany Samuel of Broadway News said it remains humorous and heartwarming at the right times, but with all the thrill of a TV dinner meatloaf. Low effort, over quickly, and indistinguishable on the inside. Ouch.
Oh, yeah, not really nice.
Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said the play is as muddled as Sam's house. Time Out New York, Will Gleason said DeVito is a star for a reason. He's vulnerable, hilarious performance is a certifiable gem. And finally, Sarah Holden of Vulture said, no actor can make a show work when a play is so set on phoning it in.
Yeah, that's not what anyone wants to hear.
No. So that's that.
Oh, no.
Can you believe that the Museum of Broadway is a year old already?
I know. Kind of cool. But you know what, though? The Museum of Broadway should be 50 years old. There should have been one.
Right. Why did
ago.
It take so long for exactly. that to happen in New York City? But it did
or
a year
Nancy
ago.
Or as Nancy Kerrigan says... Why?
Oh, my God.
Why?
Oh, my God. That's bad. I don't even... Okay. We're just going to go right on. So this is the time in the show where I say that the opinions and views that are expressed here on Offstage and on the air are not necessarily those of co-op, its staff, underwriters, or board. It's merely my own tree-hugging crazy left-wing opinion. That's it. So there was some legislation in the United States Congress, I think specifically the House of Representatives. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania sponsored 2 floor amendments. Amendment 60, to eliminate funding for the National Endowment of the Arts. And Amendment 61 to eradicate funding for the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Guess what?
It failed.
It failed.
Which was great. But just to think that that is something worthy of villainizing and getting rid of just makes me really angry.
There's a lot of things that make me really angry.
Well, this one makes me especially angry.
This one got my goat too.
How do y'all feel about all that?
I'm right there with you.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I can't think of a better word than ridiculous.
I also just like cannot relate in the least. Like, I don't understand how someone's brain works that way. Just be like, yeah, this is where we need to cut. But
well, you know, when they God, I guess it was in the.
But here's the whole thing. Didn't happen.
Yet.
God. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
in the early 90s, I want to say it was in the 90s when the Robert Mapplethorpe exhibit happened. They tried to defund the NEA. You know, saying that his art was not artistic because they disagreed with it. But, you know,
art is subjective.
Art is absolutely subjective. And then I have this little gem coming from the state of Texas. I'm about to tell you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, what now?
No. All right. quote, it was brought to the district's attention that the current production contained mature adult themes, profane language, and sexual contact, reads the communication from the Sherman High School in Sherman, Texas. Unfortunately, all aspects of the production need to be reviewed, including content, stage production props, and casting, to ensure that the production is appropriate for high school age.
What production?
Oklahoma.
No. Wow.
You're kidding, right?
Oklahoma.
First of all, why would anyone want to do Oklahoma? Let's just start with that. The ballet is 20 minutes too long.
It turns out, many people don't do the Dream Ballet.
Yeah, I know, still.
It turns out, actually, I did not know this. They talk about Oklahoma, the show Oklahoma, which has some, it's a little problematic at times because
yes!
Around the colonization of the United States and taking land that didn't belong to us. But did you know that it was the musical? I did not know this, and I'm just taking this article's which I should say is by Howard Sherman in, it's a blog. But it's based on a play by Lynn Riggs, who's a member of the Cherokee Nation. I did not know that.
I learned that when I was in Oklahoma at the First American Museum, which is an incredible place.
Cool.
Everyone should go.
Yeah. Oklahoma City?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Figured I took a stab.
I learned that when I tried to watch it with the Hugh Jackman, because I thought he'd make it better.
So, okay. Here's what all the hullabaloo is about with Oklahoma, which, by the way, this school had done twice before. This would have been the third one. The hullabaloo was about the character of Hakim.
Uh-huh.
A trans boy was cast to play it. So part of the thing.
So it's not the context of the play.
So part
which
of
the, is what they
so
said.
So part of the. Right, but that's what they said.
Yeah.
So part of it was that it was. The Sherman High School decided that, quote, the students must be cast according to the gender which they identified at birth. So. So that's what it's all about.
And a lot of what they said doesn't line up with the other things.
No,
what they
it
say
doesn't
or make sense.
It doesn't.
Womp womp.
But it's all about transphobia and figuring out a way to justify your transphobia. What's wrong with people? Here's a quote from somebody named Hightower. I need to figure out who that is. Max Hightower. Oh, Hightower was the boy that got, that lost his part. He said this, I do want to stress this, says Hightower, because I think it really shows the current state of education, especially in Texas. This guy wanted to empathize with me like a real person level. He would start all these sentences about caring and never finishing. The one that sticks out most is he said, you know, man to man, and then there was a long pause, father to father. Oh, this is the guy's father, the kid's father. Father to father, he never finished. They were terrified. They were terrified of the situation. They don't know what to do with it.
I don't know what to say.
Just
though.
Be a human being.
Literally.
Anyway, that's... That just makes me mad.
I'm going to say they probably won't be performing Hedwig in the Angry Inch.
Probably not. Okay, keeping on the theme on a happier side, Alexandra Billings, who is a very famous trans actor and someone who I worked with briefly in Chicago before she was famous. She's opening.
I've never mentioned that before. That's something new I've learned about you these 20 years later.
She's opening a one-person show called She, He, and Me. And She, He is S/HE. It's going to have a workshop on the 24th and then followed up on Broadway. It's a musical with a score by Andre Curtini. And it's basically a story of her life.
That's fantastic.
I will read this. She, He, and Me brings her incredible life story to stage. Born in 1962, Alexandra Billings grew up in a decade in which being herself was illegal. When she started transitioning in 1980, the word transgender was not commonly used. With no trans role models and no path to follow, Alexandra did what her family, teachers, and even friends said she was impossible. Alexandra forged ahead. Spanning 5 decades from profound lows of drug abuse, prostitution, and homelessness to exhilarating highs in marriage and in the spotlight, She, He, and Me pulls a curtain back on the events of a pioneering life. She weaves a true coming-of-age story, richly imaginative lies of friends being swept away by the plague, of her determination to establish a career that would break boundaries, and of the recognition of her own power. I have to say, when I met her, I would say it was probably in 98, 99. I don't know where she was on her journey. She certainly wasn't, she was not famous. And she was, you know, I knew her as an activist and an artist, but an amazingly positive person.
You have to, I feel like, to overcome obstacles, especially with addiction and homelessness and being shunned away and stuff like that. Like, you have to have some sort of inner flame that drives you to keep you going.
Yep. And to remind folks of what she has done, she was Madame Marbold in Wicked. She was in Transparent, the TV series.
Did you work on one of your technical, your...
No, she was...
What did you work on with her?
The Transgender Day of Remembrance in Chicago. So that was the first time I worked with her. So good for her. She's going to open it up on Broadway. Totally.
It's awesome sauce.
Totally in favor of that.
Yeah.
Doing a time check. We really have time for...
One person show is not easy to do either. I mean, that's like, I'm going to go in. I'm not going to just go in. I'm going to go in. Like, that's a lot.
Yep. We've got time for really just one more, and I guess it's going to have to go
what
to...
What other thing?
We're going to talk about Harmony.
Barry.
The Barry Manilow about the blah, blah, blah
harmonics.
Are you a
fan of
Manilow? I like Barry Manilow.
Yeah, but are you
how can you not like Mandy?
Oh, there are people that don't like... Copa. There's people that don't, and I don't understand that.
Well, anyway, it's scheduled to open this coming Monday at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. Mm-hmm. And it's all around the comedian Harmonists, which is a singing group in Germany. And many, many of them were Jewish, and it was basically torn apart by the Nazis.
I would say the Nazis.
Yeah. But what was interesting was to talk about the road that this has taken. They conceived of the show in the 1990s.
It has taken a crazy road for decades.
Yeah. So it's started conceiving of in the 90s. It had a debut at La Jolla Playhouse in 97. Didn't get great reviews. And then it had a 2003 out-of-town tryout in Philly. There was a planned Broadway run, but they lost their financing, so they didn't make it in. And then they had runs in Atlanta and Los Angeles.
And a lot's very different than from what was originally done in the 90s to now.
Yeah.
It's same premise, basically almost a brand new, whole new show.
Yep. So that's that. We have to take a little break.
Barry Manilow. He's a crazy turkey.
Do y'all like Barry Manilow?
I kind of love him.
Anybody? Stephanie's making a face, which doesn't work on radio.
Not a huge fan.
Not a huge fan.
He's a crazy turkey. He's polarizing. You either like him or you don't. And I'm okay with that, and I get it.
All right. Well, let's listen to some of his music, shall we? This is from Harmony, and the song is called Harmony. We'll be right back.
Imagine
that. Our money.
Did we are back. Money. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
And a whole, hello.
Hello.
And a whole slew of other people. There's just so much to talk about. We never have enough time. But let's talk to the folks from Early Era Collective and their show of The Ice Swing. And we have the head honcho of the Early Era Collective, Stephanie Patrick.
Hello.
Hello. We have Lauren Parra-Foudry.
That's me. Hi.
And got it. Look
Jack
at you.
Dunlap.
Howdy, howdy.
Okay, and Stephanie, you, this is the second time you'll have done this show.
Yes.
I think, did we talk to you about this show when you were on before during the pandemic?
We talked about a show called Shift back in 2021.
Oh, okay, well, we could have shifted to this then. So, of the I Sing, this is actually, this is for Veterans Day.
Yes.
And tell us about it. What is it?
Yeah. So basically the impetus for this show was in 2019, I was very close to my grandparents and I wanted to document their stories while they were still around. So they both either served in or lived through World War II. My grandma was a nurse. My grandfather was in the Air Force.
I see them in a video?
Yeah. Yeah. They're cute. They know all
adorable.
The show tunes.
Yes.
You could sit down and sing with them very easily. They love their whiskey sours and their show tunes.
Who doesn't?
Okay.
That was the name
of
my fourth
people.
Book, by the way.
Oh,
whiskey sours and show tunes.
Sounds like a good read.
So we interviewed them and we interviewed three other people who lived through World War II or served in World War II. So we created documentary film segments of the interviews and then we weave them in between live dance pieces.
That's so awesome.
Amazing.
Sauce.
Now, did you choreograph everything?
I choreographed six pieces, and then we also have Mia Moy and Daniel Broxton choreographing some of the pieces this year.
Excellent.
I love when you put in multiple choreographers into a show and see the different types of work. That's really cool because everybody makes different lines and pictures.
So yeah. we have two dancers here with us. How many dancers
Hello.
Total are there?
We have eight dancers
okay.
this time.
Ah, that's a
yeah.
good
and
mom.
We and the two best are here.
Exactly.
That's good. Tell
Jack's
us,
quiet but smiling.
Jack, from a dancer's perspective, were either of you involved in this? Because this is a reprise.
Yeah,
you
I did, was in the original.
But you were not,
as
Jack.
My first appearance.
Okay. Tell us your impressions of it, how you've liked dancing it. What's the style of dance? And anything else you want to say?
I mean, as far as style goes, it's all over the place, really. Like, I haven't, like, really done any... I don't have any, like, swing dance experience at all. So that was fun to, like, mess around with. They're letting me put in, like, my breakdancing ballet background, and that's a lot of fun.
Did you say breakdancing ballet?
Yes.
I love that.
I, like, interweave out of both styles at any given time.
I love that. Dancing, breakdancing on toe on point would be amazing. Just want to say that.
Yeah. Don't
do, you do
much
that.
Point.
Do you do that on point?
I don't do point.
Jack's
at all.
Working on that.
The next show.
Oh, that's great. So, how many pieces are you in? And how many pieces are there?
There are nine pieces. Mm-hmm. Jack is. You're in the most pieces. You
Am
have.
I?
You're in five, I believe.
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, we're putting the
so
we're putting the
really
show
count.
Together tonight, so he'll learn what it feels like to do them all
excellent.
In a row.
And Lauren, tell us about what you're doing and your impressions now. The second time around, is it basically the same show as it was?
So basically, yeah, it's the same show. We are using a lot of the choreography from the original show, mm-hmm. but. Mia and Daniel, the other choreographers, were not actually choreographers in the original show.
Okay.
They were dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so now they're kind of getting to revamp some of the numbers of the original show. But from a dancer's perspective, you know, it still feels so different than the original because it's kind of, it's a new group of people. There's a few original cast members, but mostly new people. And, you know, every dancer brings their own unique perspective to a piece. So it's never going to feel the same. So it's been really cool to kind of watch the difference between the 2019 version and this one.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know this or not. I may be blowing your mind, but dancers work very hard.
No, you don't say. You heard it here.
What are you talking
groundbreaking
about?
Groundbreaking news.
Very,
you heard
very
it
hard.
Here today.
Well, that's amazing. So the one of the, you know, all the different artistic disciplines, you know, theater, dance, music, whatever, tends to have a following. And I guess the idea is we want to reach outside of that following. So tell me, many of the people that listen to this show are really sort of focused on theater. Why does a theater person want to come and see this show?
Oh, yeah, I can answer that. I grew up in the musical theater world. I grew up here in Austin, working with Austin Musical Theater and some other companies here. So my background is show business, mm-hmm. is Broadway. And this really pulls from that. So I used a lot of my musical theater background for the choreography. We have music by Peggy Lee, the Mills Brothers, Benny Goodman. Can't think of anyone else.
I don't know anybody that doesn't like swing music.
Oh, you know,
I can't think of a person that says, "Oh, I don't like that kind of music."
During the 90s in New York City, I mean, the 90s was swing was everywhere, but in New York City there were multiple clubs where you could swing dance. Yeah. Swing 46 is Birdland. Still there. We went to, but we would go 4 times a week and swing dance for hours.
Sounds
till like 4 or 5
that
in the morning.
So fun.
Oh my gosh, it was so it was everything.
You and should I be in the show.
Just talking to my cousin and a good friend of ours, going, "Remember when we would go to Swing 46 and stay out all night long?" Cool. We did a lot of other naughty things, but
so
yeah,
back,
that was
back
great.
To your show.
Fun.
This is a tribute to the veterans of the world. So we know that swing dancing or swing music is of that era. Mm-hmm. But is there a theme for each of the dance pieces that surround the military?
So in the video clips, all of our interviewees share their experiences mm-hmm. in the war, and we pull from those experiences to create the dance clips. So there's an entire clip about fear, and you know, all of the people that we interviewed were about 19 when they served, mm-hmm. and they're talking about traveling overseas for the first time and hearing gun blasts and bomb shots, and you know, wondering if they were going to survive. So we turned that into a dance piece to kind of encapsulate the feelings that they're talking about. So it's multiple experiences like that where we kind of turn those chunks into experiences.
And for the listeners wondering, Veterans Day is this Saturday, November 11th, but it is actually observed on Friday, November 10th this week, in case you were wondering.
There you go. Yeah. And your grandfather and my father served in the Army Air Corps, which is what it was called at the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe they knew each other.
Oh, maybe.
Did your father fly in an airplane called the Seldom Miss?
No.
That's a great.
I haven't heard that.
It is.
That's a great.
But you know what?
Name.
They missed all the time. anyway, so when does this show happen?
Yeah, so it's this weekend, Friday through Sunday, November 10th through 12th. We have an 8 p.m. show on Friday and Saturday and a 2:30 show on Sunday.
2:30 is the dentist's favorite time.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, it's your own fault for having a 2:30 show.
Yeah.
And where is this performance going to take place?
It's
going to
be at First Street Studio Theater.
Great, which is over there on Cesar Chavez.
They actually moved to Tillery. They're close to like Tillery and Fifth.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, they're in that. They're okay.
Oh,
I know
okay.
There.
I actually did
know that they moved, but I forgot. So it used to be on Cesar Chavez, but they're now in Tillery, where Algo is, and some other spaces. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
Yeah, if you want more info, you can go to our website. It's earlyeracollective.org.
Great. Well, thank you.
That's
all
so awesome,
for coming.
Sauce. I love you doing this.
Yeah.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You all for coming on the show and have
now
a,
dance.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great show.
Thank you.
That was Stephanie Patrick, Lauren Parafraudry, Jack Dunlap of Early Era Collective's production of I Swing, November 10th through 12th at the First Street Studios. For more information, earlyeracollective.org. And this is from the Broadway show Swing, and it's called Swing Brother Swing. We'll be right back.
Deep rhythm captivates me.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. That was all sorts
I'm
of
here.
Fun.
I'm here. I'm giving hugs around the
I
room.
I know. It's kind of chaotic here in the studio.
I love hugs.
We've had a change of the guard here. Joining us here to join us in our local section, we have three new, well, four people. Yeah, Jarrett Mallon says he's not here,
like,
but guess what?
He's pretending like he's not here. You're here.
Guess what? He is.
We're telling people you're here.
We have Amy Dowling. Downing. I know.
Where'd the other
Well, you know what, Amy? I'm going to turn your microphone on.
Oh, magic.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Amy Downing. And then we have Vivian Vivi Verges.
Vivi Verges. Yes.
Vivi Verges. No, that first part we don't say. And Genesis Heiser?
Yes.
Excellent. I did that without checking with y'all first. So that was good.
Dun, dun.
So we're just going to talk a little bit about local stuff going on, and then we're going to get to talking about why y'all are really here.
Cool.
So I wanted to just focus on one show that I saw today that I hadn't heard of, and it is Broad Street Theater, which is a brand new theater company here in town, and it's called Hungry Teenage Track Stars.
Isn't that a great title?
It is. And it is...
Everybody's faces were like, yeah.
And it is, I believe, a...
world premiere?
I think it is. Hold on.
To have the world premieres here in Austin. We're cool like that in our city. We embrace new work.
There it is. So here's what it says about the show. It is the day before the race of our lives, and all we can think of about is how hungry we are. Hungry to win, hungry to race, and hungry, so hungry to eat that slice of cake, devour that slice of pizza, consume that scoop of ice cream. But we will not let anything, I repeat, anything get in the way of us winning. Not a broken nose, not the fat on our bodies, not the ruminations of our desperate anxieties. We will win. We will win. So this is a show that centers around five young teenage girls the night of the biggest race of their life. It is directed by friend of the show, Molly Fonseca.
Oh!
And it is written by Annika Lekven. I'm sure I mispronounced that. It looks pretty good. This is a one-night reading at Hyde Park. And you could, I believe, get information at HydeParkTheater.org.
I think I saw it in their e-blast, so I think you are right.
So here's what's playing around town. There's lots. It's very busy in Austin right now.
It is.
So we have Zach Theater is got The Thin Place, which has been playing and will go till the 26th of this month. And we might have them in the show next week.
Spooky.
Jarrett Productions' Death Trap has its last weekend. They've been selling out, I believe.
I believe you are correct on that.
Penfold Theater has art at Ground Floor Theater. I have seen this show, and I truly enjoyed it.
It's their 15th anniversary production.
It is their 15th anniversary. They started the show with art, with the same basic cast, and they, 15 years later, redid it.
Which is really a great way to look at a friendship all those years later and look at a play 15. I just think it's kind of smart. It's fun, quick-witted, fast-paced show.
Yeah. Inspired Minds Arts Center in Buda has The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical.
I talked about that. I'm so happy to see that on there.
You know what? And it's already closed, so pretend I didn't say it.
It was just last weekend. That's right.
Something called The Wolves is happening. through the 19th.
Yeah.
Austin Shakespeare has El Cid. To the 26th, so they will be on the show either next week or the following week. This is what I'm excited about.
Are you going?
I am going on Tuesday night, or a week from Tuesday. Broadway and Austin's Book of Mormon.
Orlando,
I love you. Okay, Concordia.
I was about to say who.
University's Kinder Transport. On the 9th through the 12th, Latino Comedy Project has Barrio Days the 9th through the 18th at Hyde Park. And the UT Department of Drama and Dance has Belua from the 10th to the 18th. And this is performed not in a theater, but in a classroom.
I find this fascinating.
Yeah, me too.
I know. Yeah, I saw that.
So that sounds like something very interesting to see. So there we go. The next thing that
That's a lot of stuff.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm looking for today in theater history.
Stuff happened today.
Found it.
In theater history.
Birthdays. Alfre Woodward.
Oh, I love her.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. I recognize her, but
I don't know
her by name.
She's powerful.
Caitlin Kinnunen, who was in The Prom.
Yes.
Chuck Cooper. Mm-hmm. We got some. Mm-hmm. And then June Havoc was born in 1912. You know what?
She's not around.
She creates a lot of havoc wherever she goes.
My grandmother's still around. She's in her almost 100. So, I mean, I shouldn't
say. Well, this would be like 120. Yeah, chances are you're right.
You know.
Opening in 1990 was 60 Degrees of Separation.
I saw that.
At Lincoln Center, the Vivian Beaumont, which I love that.
I love that theater. I love this play that was speaking of Stockard Channing.
And 2011, Venus and Fur.
Oh, gosh. Which was that long ago. Yeah.
And what's her name? Adrienne? I forgot her name, but she got her... Mm-hmm. She basically blossomed on the scene after that point.
She did blow up there.
Your favorite, back in 2018, King Kong.
No, I love the puppet. The musical stunk. But I didn't go to see a good musical.
We went
to see the puppet.
On this day, the revival of Annie in 2012.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that the day before, and then Hurricane Sandy slammed in the next day.
Okay, there's always something.
That was actually not a bad... Anthony Warlaw, I've discovered,
Yep. Mm. And then Allegiance opened in 2015.
Oh, George.
And finally, we were talking about Spamalot, but sort of in the same vein... is Young Frankenstein.
Oh, you've talked a lot about him lately, too.
And it opened in 2007.
That's crazy.
That was a musical.
Yeah, I did too, actually. so that's it. So, and in that musical was one Sutton Foster, who played
back on to attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
She is. So what did you, real quick, what do y'all think of that?
I think Aaron and her are brilliant. Yeah. I did not think, first of all, I was all like, whatever. I'm like, I might have to go back after the Grobes because that's another great combo.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
So you've already seen it?
Yeah, no, going to see the Grobes.
Oh, good.
I had tickets and the Grobes was out with the COVID, and then Anna Lee went out with the COVID, and I was like, not going.
Yeah, I saw it 3 weeks ago.
So, worth it, see?
Yeah.
I did see the Back to the Future, though.
I watched The Office on TV. That's my budget.
I mean, almost the same.
So let's take a little break. Let's listen to Sutton sing Rollin' the Hay. We'll be right back.
Rollin' the Hay.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here.
We're here on Co-op Radio 91.7 on your FM dial.
Or streaming.
Streams live.
KOOP.org.
O-R-G.
Okay.
So let's talk wolves, shall we? St. Edward's University.
I'm doing my soccer footwork.
At the Mary Moody Northern Theater.
I'm Reynaldo Cristiano.
Has a production of The Wolves. I'm just ignoring you. That's opening tomorrow night.
Yes.
And here we are so fortunate to have, first of all, a ringer, little professional actor named Amy Downing. Hi.
Amy.
And who cares about you, Amy? Because we have two students here.
And honestly, I'm in 5 seconds of the play, so it's all about them.
Yeah, it is all about them. And this is an amazing show. I love it. But it's Vivi Verges.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
And
how are you?
And you're wearing your St. Edward's...
Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers.
Go Hilltoppers. Yeah. Fear the goat.
I love it.
Fear the goat. And Genesis Heiser. And y'all play number 13 and number 8, respectively.
Yes.
Okay.
Ironically, I'm wearing a football jacket today, not even knowing that the Wolves were on.
Very in theme.
Somebody tell us about this show, one of the students.
It is about female relationships and a coming-of-age story of woman that's facilitated through soccer.
No.
So even though the poster is a soccer player, the show is not about soccer. It's about... women growing up together and learning from each other, and the vessel is soccer itself.
You have anything to add? Is that good?
Genesis is like,
Well, I think Vivi put it perfectly, but I also think that the play is truly just so beautiful and wonderful. It's an all-female cast, and most of the crew is female, too.
Oh, wow.
So it's just truly, inspiring to see all this, culmination of this work come together with just, this play all about femininity and like what it means to like grow up in this day and age.
It is a beautiful piece, and I think the MMNT theater is perfect for it. Mm-hmm. Are y'all like kicking soccer balls in through the VOMs and everything?
Something like that. Yeah. We are definitely, we're doing some passing drills on stage, doing a lot of warm-ups. That's the show. Every single scene is taking place in a warm-up right before the game, so you will definitely see some soccer action.
Yeah. So
it is a great space to really have only that show, seen, now that you say that.
It is. It's perfect for it.
It really is. Yeah,
perfect. I have only seen it once. So I know that each of the girls have a certain personality trait and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell what they are by the numbers. Can y'all share what your individual
which
characters?
Jam.
What's your jam? What's your thing?
Yeah. So for number eight, she is definitely childlike. She lives in her own bubble. And honestly, she is just so cute and so adorable. She has so much life and so much personality that no matter the topic that's happening on stage, it always just comes to her and she's like, alrighty, let's change the subject. Let's do something else just to like lighten the mood.
Mm-hmm. When everybody needs to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And Vivi, what about your character?
Number 13, I think Sarah DeLapp puts it perfectly. Her character description for 13 is stoner into her wackiness. Uh-huh. And I think that's so perfect to describe number 13. She's really good at cutting the tension in this show. When things get really intense, she's always there for a solid one-liner. And I think she's a follower in this group. She's not necessarily a leader, but she is a strong follower, and she's going to listen to her captain and the people around her.
Captain, my captain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, you show up towards the end of the show, yes?
Yes.
Tell us about you. You play the soccer mom.
I do.
You're like the only adult character in this.
Yes.
Which is odd because you're as young as all the other actors.
Aren't I? Well,
I would take offense that they...
Always 18 up here, Amy.
Right.
Always 18 up here.
In my career, I feel like I've always been cast 10 years older, but yeah. She's a soccer mom through
Okay, thank
through.
You for being on the
there
show.
There you go. I think that, you know, she's definitely a representative of a parent who has tried very hard to be involved and is definitely grappling with the ways that we misunderstand our kids,
yep.
don't quite get it, reliving all the mistakes mm-hmm. that we make every day but feel quite detrimental.
And so one might assume that as the character of soccer mom, that one of these girls is related to you in some way.
Yes,
might be the daughter.
Yes.
Which
Megan. Megan is my daughter.
Okay. And what's her deal?
Her deal is that, from what I understand, is that she was very close to me for a long time, and she had other friends on the team that she was closer to, and then she's sort of going through her intense rebellious stage around 16
you,
to 17. Yeah, hating me, separating from me, which is all very healthy, but this, I don't think I'm the type of mom that welcomes that type of behavior. It just makes me clamp down even harder.
Yes.
And so, yeah, she's definitely in that phase of rebellion, not being honest with me, hanging out with a different crowd kind of deal.
What fun. Now, so I, people that listen to this show know that I just had an experience working in the academic world for my first time, working with a bunch of students. And I found it tremendously as an adult working with these young people that had their sights set on a career in the arts. I found it so moving and made me grow. Did you have a similar situation working with these talented students?
Oh, yeah. They're so amazing. And honestly, you know, because I come in towards the end of the play, every time I've worked at St. Edward's, that's my favorite part about it, is listening to them and what their dreams are and what their ideas are and where they're headed and what it's like now, because it's been like 100 years since I graduated from theater school. So hearing what that's like for them. And I have a teenage daughter myself. And so it all just gets closer and closer and nearer and dearer talking to young adults. But yeah, all of y'all
working with students helps keep you from being jaded.
Oh, definitely.
It is almost really the best way. Like,
yeah.
You all keep us from being jaded old, get off my lawn, which we do at times.
So but I mean, I don't know. That's the way.
Yeah, true. So this show is directed by Anna Skittis Vargas, who is the new artistic director over there, and we love her work. Vivi, what year are you in?
I'm a senior this
You're
year.
You're a senior.
Oh.
Are you going to
what's happening?
Are you going into the arts after you leave?
I plan to go into the arts. I have an agent right now, so I'm doing some commercial and television work outside of school. But yeah, I just want to keep on the theater train and continue with the arts.
In Austin, or do you want to leave?
Yeah,
Austin?
I think I'll be staying in Austin for at least a little bit because I love it here. It's my home. So.
Perfect.
That's awesome, Zoss.
And Genesis, what about you? What year are you in?
I'm a junior.
Uh-huh.
She's a rising
senior. So you got, not yet, she's not. She will be.
You like to use the rising,
thank you, I appreciate that. Do you have your sights set on a career in the arts?
I do have my sights set in a career in the arts. I want to go to grad school for some more further education in the arts because I think education is really important, especially now in day of age. There's always something new to learn. And so I want to go maybe directing, maybe even put some more acting.
Where would you look at your postgraduate work? Where do you want to go for your master's?
Maybe UT.
They have a great master's program. They do. So that makes sense.
Well, amazing. So I'll flip
it. I like that you people want to stay here in the central town. Yes.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
So I think New York City is pretty, but that's another thing. I'm going to flip the script here a little bit. So the one thing that's great about the St. Ed's program is they bring in guest artists like Amy, guest directors, a lot of people from the professional world, and then people on staff that also work professionally. Like the Bob Tolaro, the Susan Branchtown. This was not my experience.
Making hearts when we say those names.
Yes,
we love them too.
We love them so much.
Bob was my guest co-host last week.
We love Bob. Love you, Bob.
So how is that for you as students to be working with working professionals?
It's really cool. Every day I go home and I'm like, wow, these people know their stuff. I'm always learning something interesting, and they have so many stories to tell that I'm like, wow, this is truly amazing to be under their guidance, to learn and grow and like have their experience with me.
I think since St. Edward's and MMMT is a professional theater, it's a really positive environment because these people aren't only our professors and people we look up to, but they're also our colleagues and our coworkers in a sense. And so it's really admirable to see these people helping try to shape us into future theater individuals, but also that we get to work together. So it's just a really positive relationship. And we, like Genesis said, learn so much every single day just from observing them.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So y'all open tomorrow night.
Yes.
Dress rehearsal tonight.
Yes.
Yay, we love that. How long do you play? When do you close?
We are open all the way until November 19th. We have our last show on the 19th. That's a Sunday at 2 p.m.
Excellent. Yes. And I'm going to ask you this. I have my own way to do it, but do you know where folks can go to get more information?
Yes. If you go to stedwards.edu/theater, you can find us there and buy some tickets. If you're an Instagram person, you can look up SEU_MMNT.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to suggest they Google the Wolves MMNT. and you'll get it that way. That way you can avoid the
https://universities to create phantom links that go to these pages.
Only there were somebody here in authority that could do that for us.
Oh, no.
So anyway, well, thank you all so much for coming on the show, and best of luck with the run.
I'm so glad you guys came on.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. That was Amy Downing, Vivi Verges, Genesis Heiser, and the very quiet Jarrett Mallon, with St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater production of The Wolves, playing November 9th through 19th. For more information, you heard me, Google The Wolves, MMNT. And this is from a show called Nanyehi, Beloved Women of the Cherokee, and it's called White Wolf on the Horizon. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. We've had a wonderful... I just love talking to students.
I do, too. We had a fun group of people on here today.
We did have a fun group of people on here today.
You know who's going to keep it fun?
What?
Robert Sims coming up next.
Yep. But before we talk about Robert Sims, I want to talk about real quickly the waitress. So, you know, the pro tape is coming out. They're going to have the video production. You can watch the filming of it or the filmed version of it through.
Sarah Bareilles went back into to film.
Yeah. What's it called? Fathom Events.
Uh-huh.
In movie theaters. But they released the opening song, Flour, Butter, Sugar.
And?
It looks so good. I want to see it so bad.
Yeah. And so that came out. You could see the trailer. And then the trailer for the new Mean Girls musical coming out in January came
That's
out
the movie.
Today. Yeah, the movie version of the musical. And womp womp, what a disappointment in a trailer.
Yeah.
There was not one song. You wouldn't know it was a musical.
But you know what was good was the one from Waitress, Flour, Butter,
Yeah,
Sugar.
I don't know. It didn't excite me.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
You know, like, I loved it. Anyway, so that's that does it for us for today. We have Austin Cooperative Radio Hour, and as Nicole alluded to, it is Lights, Camera, Austin with the amazing Robert Sims coming up. We are going to be back next week. I will be back solo.
I won't be here. I know. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just trade off.
I'll be in Houston seeing MJ.
But I want you to hear the... I audio recorded that... first scene from Waitress that you didn't like. And we'll play it for our folks here. In the meantime, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Sugar, 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 butter, sugar, butter, sugar, butter, sugar, butter, sugar, butter, sugar, butter, sugar, butter.